Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Book of Luke. I'm just going to carry some stuff up here. The book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Last time I got the opportunity to speak, we talked about sowing and reaping, and we'll finish that message. Plan to do that at the end of January. We'll take a break from our break from Philippians, and we'll look at the book of Luke, chapter 13, as you're finding your place there. As we get started, I just want to say a big thank you to all of you. Mr. Pete has a phrase that he loves to use, and if you've been around him for any amount of time, you've probably heard him use this phrase, cheerful volunteer. He likes to find cheerful volunteers and likes people to be cheerful volunteers. And sometimes the way he says it, you know that he's conscripting cheerful volunteers. But I appreciate all of you who have been cheerful volunteers in assisting us. Amber and I, this has been our first year here. We've enjoyed our time, but we've learned a lot, and we've had a large learning curve, and we appreciate all of you who've spent time helping us, making it easier for us, contributing time, energy, talent, whatever it might be to make our stay here and our transition into the ministry here as easy as possible. That goes for Pastor. That goes for all of you who have spent time helping us and making this ministry easy for us to transition to. So we appreciate that. And for all of you cheerful volunteers, as Mr. Pete would say, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate all that you've done to help us in our ministry here. So Luke chapter 13, as you find that in your Bible, Luke chapter 13. And I want to talk for a few moments about the new year. Here in front of us, we have something that will be staring you in the face as you walk into work on Monday, or as you pull your smartphone out of your pocket. Most of you probably don't even have one of these things anymore. This is what will be hanging on my wall in place of the 2014 calendar here in a little while. Or maybe it's on your refrigerator, or something that you just make in a book, a list or something along those lines. But we have a 2015 calendar here. Totally blank. I haven't written anything on there other than the things that people have written. And some of the things that are written, if you have a calendar like this, are sometimes quite confusing. We have Administrative Professionals Day as well as Earth Day on April 22nd. You know, those important things that are really important for you to keep in mind for your calendar, along with some important things like April 5th, which is Easter, and some of those important things. But calendars are always there for us. They're always holding promise, and they always show us the time to come. They basically chart out our days. When I worked for Navy Federal, I remember we had a specific program that we used. It was called Lotus Notes. Any of you worked with Lotus Notes? A few of you have? Okay. I'm very sorry for you. It's a very antiquated system, very out of date. But it was a mail client, and it also had a calendar client as part of it. And I remember specifically with Lotus Notes, it had one feature that I really enjoyed, and that was at the bottom of the calendar. What it did was it incorporated a couple of things about the calendar. Let's see if I can duplicate them for you briefly. At the very bottom of the calendar, it had two numbers. Let me get this out of your way here. All right, two numbers. The one number was this. For me, it's actually this. Let me get this right here. See if you can guess what this is here in a second. I'll give you a second number to help you as a clue. I haven't checked this with right as we stand, but I think it'd be, let's see. It'd be in the 360s, okay? 360s, something like that-ish. I don't have time to think about that, okay? 360-ish. And then over here it would say something like 3 or 4. Does anyone know what that would be? Can anyone? Days left. Okay, I know this is, I know all the teens just love my drawing. My text is even worse, I promise, but my artistry is not great. So 360 some days and then 4 days left. So Mr. Hankey's exactly right. So I've got 360 some days that we've already finished this year, and I've got about four more days left. Does anyone know what this number up here then would be? Some of you can't see it. It says 10,122. Anybody? I'm hearing some mumblings. Unread email. Unread email, yeah. Especially over the holidays, right? and you hope you can just hit delete on all of them. It's actually days as well. If the increment is days. Well, no. These are the amount of days that I've been alive. Mr. Hankey gets an award. We need to make sure that we get him. These are the amount of days that I've been alive. Yeah. But the thing is, it's kind of depressing, isn't it, at a certain point? but the thing that is unknown is over here, right? And this is unknown for all of you. Hopefully it's a whole lot more question marks than three. But this is in all of our lives, we could have a calendar like this in our lives. The interesting thing about this calendar is every time that this number gets one higher, what happens to this number? It's one lower. There's always a transfer of days every time the sun sets, 12 o'clock midnight hits. We all lose a day. There's a day that's on this side of our dash. And if we were to look at, some people talk about when you go to a graveyard, right? There's two numbers, and in between's the dash, and that's your life, right? But in a sense, this is kind of how it is, well, in increments of days. So every time a day moves over to this side, I no longer have it anymore. And it's over, and I cannot live it again. But none of us know what this number is. And sometimes that's a problem for us. Some of us would like to know the amount of days that we have. We're looking at 2015. We're coming up on a new year. Who knows what 2015 will bring for us? Who knows if I'll live through 2015? Who knows what will happen in 2015 for all of us? There's a song that this reminds me of. We'll get to the text in a moment. But in Psalm 90, we're instructed by the psalmist. He asks that we'll be taught to number our days, that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. But none of us do know, you know, how long we have. It's a total unknown. There's a song, it's put to music, a poem that reads this. The title is, If We Could See Beyond Today. It goes, if we could see beyond today as God can see, if all the clouds should roll away, the shadows flee, or present griefs we would not fret, each sorrow we would soon forget. For many joys are waiting yet for you and me. If we could know beyond today as God doth know, why dearest treasures pass away and tears must flow. We know that darkness leads to light and dreary days will soon grow bright. Someday life's wrongs will be made right. Faith tells us so. If we could see, if we could know, we often say, but God in love a veil doth throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to him the more. He leads us till this life is o'er. And the final three words are trust and obey. Because we don't know the future, because I don't know what's going to happen, or how many I have over here, my opportunity is then to trust and obey my Father, God, who knows all my days, understands everything about me, knows what's going to happen tomorrow, understands what's going to happen in the middle of next summer, and knows exactly what's best for me. My opportunity then is to trust and obey him. And in our story, if you found your place in the book of Luke chapter 13, in our story we'll read in just a few moments, we'll read about a tree, a fig tree. And this specific tree actually only has one more year left. Luke chapter 13, verse number 6 says this. He spake, this is talking about Jesus, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Luke 13:7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, talking about the dresser, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. It goes on to talk about Jesus teaching on the Sabbath. In our story, I've titled our message today, Just Another Year. Just Another Year. The point that I want us to understand, that I want us to think about this evening is this. We must live on purpose in 2015 because 1 year can make a difference. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, as we look into your word and into this parable, I pray that you'll help us to understand its meaning, that you'll help us to apply it to our lives, and that 2015 will be a year that we purpose to make certain changes in our lives to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus tells an interesting story as he gets into this parable. In fact, the whole passage begins with Jesus preaching and talking about a few groups of unfortunate people. If you notice in the passage, if you back up to the beginning of Luke chapter 13, goes on to give some commentary and says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Okay, something that happened, Pilate the ruler, the Roman governor, Roman appointed ruler, who had slaughtered or killed some Galileans, and they told Jesus about it. Jesus answering said, as verse 2, unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? Verse 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he launches into the parable that we've told. I was reading one commentary about this that was talking about the fact that Jesus' message here, we sing the song softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And Jesus' message here was actually loud and pointed to the people he was speaking with. And he was answering a question. In a lot of ways, I believe that his parable that we read is thrown alongside, is cast alongside to help people understand the brevity of life and the fact that none of us know how much longer we will have. He says these people who were killed by Pilate, they were probably horrible sinners, weren't they? Do you think that they were worse sinners than anyone else? And the response in the crowd might have been, well, I mean, they were killed by Pilate. There's got to be a reason that they entered eternity. I mean, God must have hated them. They must have done some horrible things. But Jesus' quick answer is no. In fact, to his audience, unless you repent, you're also going to perish. And then he pulls from another current event about the Tower of Siloam falling on 18 people. And he says, or suppose these 18 people, they were probably sinners, you know, horrible sinners above other people as well. In the minds of the, you can see the people in the audience, the wheels in their mind turning and wondering where Jesus is going with these events that he's pulling out from their daily lives, the news, what's going on with them at that time. But he says again, no. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I believe the thrust of this passage is speaking of salvation, saying there is a time that each one of us have. There is a date on this side that none of us know. It might have been you. You might have been one of those 18. If you were in the crowd that day, you might have been one of those 18 that the tower fell on, but you still have an opportunity to repent. You might have been one of those Galileans that Pilate mingled with the sacrifices, but you still have the opportunity to repent. And the message is not about why things happen or why, and Jesus doesn't give an explanation about why bad things happen or why things in the world, and that's usually why we throw our hands up when something bad happens, like an earthquake or a tsunami or something like that. We say, why does God allow bad things to happen? And Jesus doesn't even address that here. In fact, understood is the fact that all of us have a limited amount of time. Nature itself might take us in an earthquake, or somebody might have built a tower in the wrong way and it leaned and fell on us, and things happen. The point is not, why does God allow things to happen? The point of Jesus' story here is, are you ready for the time when these question marks will run out on your life? Are you ready for that time? It's not a nice and rosy and happy and feel-good sermon that Jesus is giving to these people. And then he throws the parable on to tell them about a fig tree who has a limited amount of time. And I want us to see a few things about this fig tree before we close this evening, just to talk about a few things. What I want us to understand is that we need to live on purpose in 2015, because 1 year can actually make a huge difference. Just 1 year. Now, as you see, I have some decorative art. Does anyone want to tell me the significance of this? Okay, there's no significance. This is compliments of Joshua Mast. As I was preparing my board, he came in, didn't speak a word, grabbed the red marker here, and just started coloring dots. And my first thought was, that's my board. But then I realized how well my writing is, and I appreciate the color that he added to it. But we need to live on purpose in 2015, because 1 year can make a difference. Let's look at this tree. Let's dive into this story for just a few minutes that Jesus tells and apply it to our lives and figure out what it can mean to us today. So he tells this parable, which we all know is just a story that's cast alongside. It's like an illustration. that is thrown alongside a truth that allows you to understand it better. It relates it to your life. Okay, they all knew about trees, and just like we do, and they knew about vineyards, and they understood some of these things. So he tells about this in verse 6. Let's just read it briefly again. He says, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none." So let's stop there for a moment. Most people, if you'll read commentaries on this, will try to explain exactly who this owner was and who the dresser of the vineyard was. Who was the tree? What was the vineyard? And there's great spiritual truths, and sometimes those things are extremely important. But you're also going to find a lot of conflicting information about who it is and what it was. And for our purposes this evening, we're just going to kind of take it at face value and apply it to our lives as Christians, as believers this evening. And we're going to look at the owner, the Lord of the vineyard, as God himself, someone who comes and inspects the trees. He is concerned with what's going on inside his vineyard. So here comes the owner. He looks. He doesn't see any fruit. And then verse 7, he says, he calls a meeting with the dresser of the vineyard. He calls him over and he says, "I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none." And he says, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit and find none." And then he gives him a command, "Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And then you hear the dresser speaking up, and he's making a plea for the tree. Now, we're going to talk for just a few moments about three things that I want us to see that we need to purpose in 2015. The first thing that I want us to see that we need to purpose is purpose to make spiritual renewal a daily task. What are the things that I could purpose? What are the things that I could change in 2015? Sometimes we talk about resolutions, right? At Navy Federal, I had a guy. I really appreciated him because he was a really honest guy. And we were talking about New Year's resolutions. It was a couple years ago. And people were talking about, "I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose this amount of weight," you know. And they were getting support groups, you know, of ladies that were going to go walking during their breaks or lunch or whatever, or different things that people were going to do. And when it came to him, we were just sharing at the end of the year. When it came to him, he said, "I'm not going to shave. I'm just going to let my beard grow, and that's one resolution I can keep." And I appreciate that. And he did. He, by August, you know, he had this huge growth of beard, but he actually kept one of his resolutions. But we all know that resolutions are made to be broken, right? We have great intentions. We know that we're going to do this thing or this list of things. We're going to put aside that money. We're going to spend more time with the family. We're going to, whatever it is, lose weight. Whatever it is, we're going to do it. And then we get bogged down in the year, and sometimes those things fall away. But there are three things that I've pulled out from this passage, and I think they're important to us for spiritual resolutions that I think if you and I were to make, that they would benefit us. And maybe you've already made these resolutions, and that's great. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am or than we are, some of us here. But this is something I think all of us could benefit from, and if you have, this is something that you can renew. The first is this: purpose to make spiritual renewal a daily task. Purpose to make spiritual renewal a daily task. Notice in verse number 8, "And he answering said unto him," this is the dresser speaking, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." What is he saying? Did he deny the fact that there was no fruit? No. He did not say, "There's fruit. I'm sure there's fruit," and walk over to the fig tree and just look and just hope and lift up some branches. He didn't deny the fact that there was no fruit. He did not do that at all. He acknowledged that there was an issue, but he moved past it to a solution. And he said, let me do a couple of things to it. And he asked for 1 year's time. What are the things that he wanted to do? In his language, he said, "I shall dig about it and dung it." What would that be for us today? That would be maybe if we had Gary Kofta here. I know he's gone, but he does a lot of things with soil, right? And he aerates the land. He has a big, big metal thing with these tines that pull into the ground, and then he's able to put seed in there afterwards, and he knows the importance of taking care of soil, of ground. And the dresser said, I don't know if the dresser hadn't spent a lot of time on this tree, maybe, and he just didn't want to let this tree go, but he said, "Give me a year, and I'm going to do two things to it. I'm going to dig about it, I'm going to get some air into the soil, and then I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to put some things into the soil that it will benefit from." And from that, I understand the fact that you and I need to spend time in our own lives digging about and maybe breaking up some fallow ground, as one of the prophets said in the Old Testament, and allowing our lives to get shaken up a little bit so that we can have some room to put some fertilizer into our lives. And that fertilizer would be God's Word, spending time in His Word. You and I need to make God's Word and prayer central in 2015. Hey, do you have a Bible reading schedule? Are you spending time in God's Word on a regular basis? Do you have a plan? We all know that if you don't have a plan, there's a great chance. They say if you don't plan to succeed, you're actually planning to fail. Or if you don't plan at all, it's a plan to fail. Do you have a plan to read God's Word in 2015? Well, you say, I don't have time to read God's Word. What about 5 or 10 minutes in the morning? Or 5 or 10 minutes after, maybe during lunch break? Or maybe you can pop in a CD and listen to it. Listen to the Bible reading on a CD on your way to work or commute or something like that. Is it good to read through the Bible in a year? Absolutely. Do you need to read through the Bible every year? No, you could read a psalm or a proverb or something like that. Get on a plan that maybe you haven't done before. Or get on a couple of plans, but expand. Get on some sort of a plan and spend time in reading. How about prayer? Do you have a plan to pray in 2015? Who do you pray for? Do you pray for your fellow church member? Do you pray for those who are sick? Do you pray for pastor? Do you pray for your unsaved family members? When do you pray for them? Just when they come to mind? Or is there a plan that you have that on Tuesday morning when I spend time with God, this is what I'm going to pray for? Now, do you have to do these things? No, but these are things that could help you. These are things that have worked for me that you can spend time and just write it out. It's on your phone. Here's a note, and you know that on Monday, here's the prayer list that you can write down. When somebody gives you a prayer request, hey, just type it into your phone. And now every Tuesday, you can say that, yeah, I've been praying for you this week. Because you prayed for them once a week, or however you're going to do that. But do you have a prayer? You have a plan to spend time in God's Word and in prayer in 2015? It's important. I know we say it, and we're like, yeah, I should spend more time in prayer. I should spend time reading God's Word. And if we're not careful, the only time we crack open our Bibles is when we walk into preaching service. And that's when we spend time in God's Word. So purpose to invest spiritually, or purpose to make spiritual renewal a daily task. Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can I keep my life clean? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. 1 Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's a command for us. It's not saying, just like babies want milk, Christians want the word of God. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, just like babies want milk, as a Christian, you need to choose to put yourself on a diet of the word of God. It doesn't just come naturally, necessarily. You need to put yourself on a diet. You need to choose to do that. Daily, we're soiled by the world around us. We must daily be cleansed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Secondly, not only do we need a purpose to make spiritual renewal a daily task, but next, purpose to invest spiritually in the lives of others. Did you notice the role of this dresser? How would you like to, somebody, that's your name. You're called a dresser, all right? So you don't put clothes on people, but you tend to things. This guy was a dresser. That's who he was. He was in charge of this vineyard. And he was in charge of the trees, and he took responsibility for it. Who are you taking spiritual responsibility for in 2015? Who is it that you are going to dig in their life, you're going to aerate the soil, and then you're going to infuse some fertilizer into their life so that they actually produce fruit in the future? Who is that person for you? Who is the person that you're going to invest in spiritually? The role of the dresser, he tended to the vineyard. He took responsibility for the plants, the trees. In fact, he even interceded on the behalf of the tree. If it wasn't for the dresser, there's a good chance that that tree might not have gotten one other year. What was the will of the owner? Cut it down. It's taking up ground space. I could have another productive tree in that area. But the dresser took the side of the tree that wasn't bearing fruit. And in our day today, maybe that's you parents for your kids. Maybe that's us for our family members. Maybe that's us for one another. Maybe that's for you, for the people in your Sunday school class. Maybe that's you for your neighbors, taking up for them and praying for them and begging that God will give them another opportunity to accept the gospel, or if they're believers, to produce spiritual fruit in their lives. And then he actually worked. The dresser actually got down into the dirt himself and sweated and worked to help the tree produce fruit. He said, I'm going to dig about this fruit. I'm going to fertilize this tree. I'm going to do some things. And hopefully in a year, my investment will pay off. And if it does, well, or great. If it doesn't, then we can go ahead and give up on this one tree. So first of all, let's purpose for ourselves to make spiritual renewal a daily task for you and me. And then secondly, purpose to invest spiritually in the lives of those around us. And the last thing is this, purpose to invest your time, not waste it. What was the time period that he asked for? 1 year. They tell us that goals, there's 5 or 6 things that are, and if I were to ask you, many of you could cough it up, and a lot of it's, you know, company speak and things like that, but ask you what a goal, what is a measure of a good goal? And they say, Well, it's important that you make that it's reasonable, right? It needs to be reachable. It can't be too far out where, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, travel 700 million miles, you know, around the world, you know, whatever it is. I think I'm going to, you know, different things that are out of reach. But they also say that it should be time bound. A goal should have a time period. And this is what this dresser said. He said, can you give me 1 year? The time period was only 1 year. Notice that God also had expectations. He came year by year. The owner came how many times? Look in verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Verse 7, then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years. He spent time coming year after year to check and see if there was any fruit, and he found none. God has expectations on my life. The owner periodically checked up on that vineyard. God knows what's going on in my life. God understands everything about me. And sometimes I feel like we think that God is standing up there with a smite button, you know, wanting as soon as we do something wrong, you know, to take us off this earth or to judge us. And certainly God is a God of judgment. But here we see him as a God of mercy, giving 3 years of fruitlessness and then giving an additional year and giving every opportunity for this tree to bring forth fruit and placing a dresser, maybe a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, into your life to try to break up some fallow ground and to try to encourage us to get God's word fertilized into our lives. He's given us every opportunity. He's given us his word. He's given us access to Bible study tools to be able to enrich our lives and to bear fruit and the opportunities to freely give out the gospel here in the United States and in some places in the world. He's a God of grace and he's given us opportunities. But for this tree only had one more year. It only had one more year, and it needed not to waste it. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When this runs out, as Brother Clark mentioned this morning, whether it's with the rapture or whether it's with a death, all of us will stand before God. We'll give an account of our lives for the things that we've done, for the good things, and that'll be a great time, right? Yeah, I spent time on the bus route. Yeah, I spent time. I gave my money. Yeah, I spent time in church. I was on a church on a Sunday night even. I did. And then for the good and for the bad, we'll be giving account of all those things to God. And he knows them already. James 4:13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Again, a year's time that they'd planned out. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. The tree would be cut down if it didn't bear fruit. It had 1 year to use its time wisely, to try to bear fruit, to try to do what it was purposed to do. And maybe you're sitting here and maybe in some ways in certain areas of your life, maybe you've been like me. In certain areas of my life, I know that I haven't borne as much fruit as I could have or as I should have. And maybe you say, you know what? This year's the third year for me. I don't know about the previous 3 years of my life, but maybe I haven't produced spiritual fruit like I should have. Maybe there's been areas of my life where I have nothing to show. I feel like I've wasted time. I feel like I haven't invested in other people. I feel like I haven't invested in myself spiritually in some ways. And this is my last year. And this is the chance that I have, and maybe this is the last chance that we're able to produce spiritually before God may put us on the shelf of service for him. What can you do about that? What can I do about that? Hey, make this the year. This 1 year. The year that you change. Here's a couple of suggestions. Make this the year that you become more active in your church. Make this the year that you begin discipling your family. Make this the year that you stop feeding the flesh and start feeding the spirit. Make this the year that you place God as first priority. Make this the year that you start investing financially in God's work. Make this the year that you kick your pessimistic attitude to the curb. Make this the year that you step up to a place of service in your church. Make this the year you begin investing in the lives of those around you, that you begin making sound financial decisions, that you begin making healthy choices. This the year that you bring a friend or relative to Christ. This the year that you begin or continue a meaningful devotional life. So what happened to the tree? What happened to the tree? Well, the story hangs there. We don't know. And the jury's still out on your life and my life. I don't know what's going to happen. It's an unknown. We have the question marks there. I'm not sure. And none of us have stand before Christ yet because you're still here sitting in the pew. None of us know. The jury's still out. We don't know what happened to the fig tree. Hopefully, what the dresser did and the fig tree decided somehow to work harder at bearing fruit. Hopefully, the tree was able to stay, but we don't know. We don't know the end of the story for that. Talking about waste and fruitlessness, I'll read an illustration in closing. According to the National Wildlife, each week people in the United States generate 4 million tons of trash. This may have been a while ago. During the holiday season, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, though, we throw out even more, 5 million tons per week. And a high percentage of that trash is simply wasteful. It goes on to talk about how much you'd throw away if you just threw away a spoonful of dressing or whatever. There's all the wrapping paper. The average U.S. consumer gift wraps 20 packages during the holidays. If each person wrapped just 3 of those packages with recycled wrap, the amount of paper saved would cover 45,000 football fields. New Year's celebrations add to the trash heap. After the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration, for example, the New York Sanitation Department cleans up 42 tons of extra garbage above what they normally clean up in Times Square. And I'd hate to think in our lives, I hope that we're not spending our years wasteful. I hate to think of what God would think about our lives. And in 2014, or maybe the past 3 years, we say, I don't have a whole lot to show for it. I've got some stuff I've thrown in the trash. But maybe in 2015, we can live this on purpose and understand the fact that 1 year can make a huge difference. It made a huge difference in the life of this fig tree, and it could make a huge difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity of time. Thank you for the gift that it affords us. I pray that you'll help us to be rich in how we use our time in 2015, that you'll help us to purpose to live intentionally before you. In Jesus' name.